Right. Hi there. I'm Gaoming Sam from Catalyst IT, and I'm also on the Samba team. So my talk is about the Samba KCC, basically saying no to full mesh replication. So what is the KCC? What is it actually for? So it's the knowledge consistency checker. You know, what does that actually mean? I actually have no idea how that is relevant to what it actually does. So it's actually used to manage the replication connections in AD. It's a set of algorithms to produce efficient network topologies, so that sort of there's not overly too much replication, and you know everyone is eventually consistent. So you know there's a bunch of sites, and you know they basically form connections between them, so that everyone is all connected. So the key word is you know efficient. So in sort of Samba 4, 5, and previous, we did was connect every DC to every DC. and this was a very, very big problem. So let's say we had sort of, you know, 8 DCs, and, you know, we connect them all like that. And so there's, sort of, there's you know, 56 different connections. And, you know, what happens when one of the DCs actually gets a change? It gets broadcast to all the other DCs. So, you know, now we have, you know, seven other DCs receiving the change. And, well, actually that rebroadcasts and, you know, now we've got, you know, seven times that we've got 49 sort of connections which are, you know, going, you know, full speed, trying to replicate all these new changes all at the same time. And, you know, a DC over here is going to be receiving changes from, you know, a whole bunch of other DCs, and, you know, the DC that broadcast it before is now going to be receiving changes from the other seven DCs, and it all just was very, very unhappy. So, before sort of 4.6 and now 4.7, this was even more of a problem as well because of linked attributes, so group memberships. Group memberships, their code was basically handled in an n squared loop, and so we'd get DCs. You know, the original change would come in, and it would broadcast it, and every other DC would be stuck, and they'd be stuck in an n squared loop for hours. So you'd join a DC, you'd do some set of changes, and every single DC would be out, and for a long time. Not just a sort of small amount of time, a very long time. And so this had some severe impacts on people's networks. So the history, so basically, you know, we start off with this full mesh C code, and you know, well, this is the easiest thing we could do. Well, what's wrong with this? And then we had an attempt at the ADTS algorithms, the MSADTS algorithms in C for the KCC. And so, you know, they were following the spec and they were, you know, trying to implement it as closely as possible, which would have never worked at all because, you know, the docs didn't really look at the high-level sort of meaning of what the docs were actually doing, and so they were never going to get anywhere as they were implementing this. So another guy came around in 2011 trying to implement this stuff in Python, and he got sort of partway there. He built some of the infrastructure and stuff like that. But you know he was you know just trying to spend some of IBM's free time or something like that, trying to sort of get this done. But you know his time ran out and you know it was just half done. And so in late 2014, early 2015, Douglas and myself from Catalyst we were sort of working on the KCC, you know, seeing what we could do and try to implement Microsoft's algorithms. And so we introduced it in Samba 4.3, it was a bit buggy, but then eventually we set it on as default in Samba 4.5. So there's sort of four main stages of the algorithm. So there's an intra-site algorithm which applies to the connections made between DCs in the same site, where you have inter-site algorithm which runs between the sites. We have routines to remove unnecessary duplicated connections and basically translation of connections, which I'll sort of cover more later. Although the KCC creates connection objects, it's responsible for creating these things called like NTDS connections. They don't actually represent the underlying replication. They're only the implied connections given the current network topology. So, you know, although it, you know, things might look as if it were replicating through the things that the KCC makes, that isn't necessarily how it's replicating underneath because there's two stages. So there's sort of prerequisites on what you actually need in the database before all this stuff actually works. So in a new domain, in a sort of standard modern sort of Samba 4.5 DC, all these stuff will be provisioned, and so you don't actually have to worry about it. But you need some sort of transport in the database. So it's just IP by default. You need some sites, so you need to actually have your domain controllers assigned to different sites. So normally this is just assigned to a default first site, and so everything will just, you know, automatically be connected if you don't actually do anything. And so you also need this NTDS site settings, which is created when you create a site. Now, there are older versions of Samba 4 which didn't have this object, or they were deleted, and so this has caused some problems and something we actually probably have to fix at some point. So this object is needed to assign this thing called inter-site topology generator, but I'll talk about that later. So you need site links. So basically, by default, there's a default IP site link which connects all the it connects the default first site so that there will be replication in it. So site links, they define the allowable connections between sites. They represent your physical connectivity of your network and the sort of hub-like. So you can have multiple sites which are connected by a single site link. The site links need to collectively span your entire network so that when the KCC runs, your entire network will actually be connected at the end of it. But the thing is, like, because it's distributed, it doesn't actually know this ahead of time. So there's also a cost associated with it. So you can arbitrarily sort of set costs associated with, you know, how much you actually want this link to be used in your network. So here's one scenario. You might have three DCs that are in a single first site, and it's connected all by one IP site link. And so this will apply the intra-site algorithms just to connect these DCs together. Here's another scenario where you have sort of one DC in each site, and you have sort of site link A connecting those two sites and site link B connecting those two sites. And so you'd hope that these are connected eventually somehow, transitively. Okay, so the intra-site algorithm. So this is the first part of the algorithm, and it runs on every DC. It creates connections within a single site, and with just a single server, basically it doesn't do anything. It forms connections in a ring topology with a few extra connections so that if you have a really, really large ring of DCs in your site, it will just connect across the ring so that if there are any outages, then it will just get changes across the ring. So it sort of looks like this. So replication links, they're only sort of one way. They are pull replication. So this one pulls from this one. And so for the ring topology to work, you actually need sort of one link in each direction so that everything sort of flows around in both directions. So how it applies the algorithm is that every DC in the site, they know all the other DCs, and they basically sort the DCs based on their GUIDs. And they each DC in the site is responsible for connecting the two, for two connections, one that goes out to the next guy and one goes to the previous guy, so that everyone figures out that they're actually in a ring. And then there'll be some additional sort of connections that might apply across the ring if you actually have enough DCs for that to actually happen. So compared to the old KCC, which, you know, connected everyone to everyone, there are fewer connections. It's reasonably reliable, I found, adding additional connections across the ring if you needed them. Information propagates in a much more controlled manner. So eventually, it will travel around the ring, eventually get to a point where both sides have received the same change. And then you won't get it pulsing back and forth when they're not quite sure if they've actually got the change yet. So in the single site use case with not that many DCs, basically it doesn't actually do anything different to the old KCC. Fully mesh and ring and with a small number of DCs, that's pretty much the same thing. And because it's in a single site, and you know all your cables and stuff like that should all be really fast. There really isn't much difference between fully meshing it when you're only on the same sort of physical location. So then we run the inter-site algorithm. So this one's probably the core of what we tried to implement, and a core of what the KCC is actually trying to solve. So there was a lot of code that goes into trying to implement this algorithm. So each site has to elect some guy who's responsible for generating the connections that go in, that go in towards one site into its own site. So when the elected inter-site topology generator goes down, it tries to re-elect it, and it's based on some attribute. I don't actually know how well that fails over in Samba at the moment, but I haven't really had anyone sort of try it. So what it actually needs is a stable answer across the entire DC network. Otherwise, you might have sort of some cornered part of the network which doesn't really talk to each other. And it thinks it's connected to everything else, but whoever was responsible for connecting to the rest of the network, it thought it was doing something else, or it thought it should be connected that. So it thought the partner next to it was supposed to connect it to the rest of the network, or and vice versa, and so ends up in a ring. And so they actually need a stable answer across the whole network, so that everyone knows that what they're actually meant to be doing. So there has to be one DC per site managing the inter-site connections, and it needs to be as fault-tolerant as possible, and it must produce topology optimizing costs and schedules. So we sort of have, just trying to think about, let's say we have a sort of inter-site topology generator for every site, but that's only one DC. But so if we had multiple DCs in a single site, what we get is, these bridgehead servers, which are the endpoint connections between the sites. And that doesn't imply that it's like an inter-site topology generator. It doesn't imply that it's the guy who decides that link had to be created. So, it was just to highlight that this is the direction of the arrow. So this one pulls from this one, and you need two connections to actually get bidirectional replication. So when you have a site connecting to another site, there doesn't necessarily have to be a single bridgehead server. There might be one going, so it's pulling from this one, and that one's pulling from a different server. And these are both bridgeheads, but in opposite directions. So let's say this one was the inter-site topology generator. And so this is the only one that actually runs the inter-site algorithm. So assuming that it's run for the first time, and there's no connections that are sort of pulling changes into this particular site. So this one, this link is missing. So this one will create this link over here in the database, and then that will replicate around the ring to finally get to that DC, which will then process it. So let's say it eventually recognizes that link got created in the database, and it corresponds, the endpoint corresponds to itself. It notices the new connection, it will translate the information, and it will just connect to this DC and start replicating from it. And that's all sort of after that, after the KCC has been run on the inter-site topology generator. So this will happen, and then later on, this will happen to actually connect it. And it has no idea why it connects to the DC. That's not its job. It's the job of the inter-site topology generator to actually figure out why it's doing these things and why it's connecting to this particular DC. So here's just an example. So let's say we had sort of 1, 2, 3 sites, and sort of site links between these two, sort of like that, which made more clear like that. So let's say we had links like this, and we assign costs to them to say that, this one's slightly more expensive than this one. And we decide that maybe this one is a satellite link, and so it's, much more costly. We don't want our network to go sort of like that. And so, what it does is it applies a minimum spanning tree algorithm. So there's some other algorithms. There's some like Dijkstra's, which succeeds sort of different nodes and does all sorts of weird things, which I don't actually think applies in the sort of general case. I think the main point is that it just runs a spanning tree algorithm. It adds sort of this particular connection to the list of required ones, this one and this one, and then, you know, it takes a total cost and figures out that, you know, this is probably the best network to run, so that everyone actually gets changes. And so there's a failover algorithm. So, you know, if this one falls over, it should decide to use this one and create a second redundant topology. And I think this does work in this case, but I think currently we're still working on trying to improve it so that it works in cases where some of the failure information isn't propagated very well in Samba. So for small networks, you know, like this sort of connectivity, you know, you actually have to wait for it to fail over. It's actually not very robust, and so, you know, there is some period of time when this one won't get any changes. And so the old KCC, where, you know, you fully meshed it, maybe that's actually what you want. Or in other cases, you know, when you turn it off, when this link is sort of broken, maybe it was only broken for a small period of time, and maybe you actually don't want it to create this connection. So these are sort of some of the questions that sort of come up, and I'm still trying to figure out. So then there's removing unneeded connections. So it basically goes through, finds duplicated connections created for various reasons, and it starts removing any redundant ones. It's definitely something I need to work on, because, you know, it's not quite clear exactly in which cases some of these links should be removed. And removing too aggressively may actually disconnect your network, which isn't very good. So then the next part of the algorithm is to translate any connections that some KCC has created. So these are translated from NTDS connections which exist in the database and replicated across the entire network, and then they're translated to actual replication links, which are reps from, and those are periodically pulled from. So there's actually two independent tasks running in Samba. So there's the KCC, which creates the NTDS connections through the inter-site topology generator or intra-site, and then it will run the translation to the actual replication to the reps from. And it's not necessarily the case that the KCC that translates these connections is the one that created the connection in the first place. And so there's the dripple server, which reads those reps from and actually starts pulling them. So there's a whole separate process for actually doing the replication. So what the dripple server also does is it reads reps too. So this is push replication, which it does by telling the other guy to pull from it. And these things are actually created these take even longer to be created because they're created implicitly on the pull from the other side. So you have to wait for the reps from to occur, and then the pull replication will finally realize that it's supposed to be pushing to it, and then those things will register finally. And so all this stuff actually takes a long time to propagate in some cases. So some other things are done in the translation. It sets some flags on the replication connections. It's particularly important for RDCs because some things might be lost. Some replication information might be lost if you don't set particular flags. So some stale replication links, some stale reps from and reps to should be deleted, but currently they're not. In some cases they're removed, and I still need to figure out exactly where they're not being removed. And so there are some cases where, you know, they might get left over, and so everyone's still actually doing full mesh replication with each other. So the end result is that you have a single path from any site to any site, which is the property of the tree. Now, this is good and bad because, you know, if you disconnect any node, then basically you've disconnected your network because, you know, every edge is necessary for paths between all the DCs. But it does mean that the changes will never bounce against each other, and there'll be significantly reduced replication traffic. So it allows the site links allow some ability to customize who should talk to who. So which is good, you know, if there are sort of links that you really don't want to be using and only in sort of emergencies or But for, you know, for small networks, the between full mission and this particular strategy, there shouldn't be any real effect. But for larger networks, particularly when our replication was really, really bad, this actually had a huge effect on people's networks. So some of the challenges in trying to implement it, it was, you know, really, really verbose. So site links, there were things that you know, Windows talked about as multi-edges, which is which in graph sort of terminology, it's you know, it's definitely wrong, but graph terminology is all a bit over the place sometimes. And so, you know, things that you refer to multi-edges are actually sort of pairs of edges, but they've decided it was this thing, which is, you know, a connection between three nodes. And so I think Wikipedia called these hyper-edges, you know, as part of a hypergraph. So all this stuff is sort of but strange. And so there were sort of like weird things like, oh, this is a white DC or a red DC or a black DC. Or what do these things mean? So there were sort of lots of really strange things in the documentations and, you know, lots of ambiguities and actually some logical inconsistencies. And it's not entirely clear what actually was meant by some of the things in the doc. And I'm not sure exactly how to correct them either. So, you know, there were just different parts were written in different ways. And you know, trying to debug this was actually a real challenge for me. Trying to figure out how I was supposed to test this, how we were supposed to look at, you know, different networks and assess whether or not the thing was, you know, doing the right thing. And so one thing we did was we actually just took a Windows network, tried different topologies, and tried to see if we generated the same final connections as the one that Windows actually created. And so we did this by sort of generating graph files and trying to look at, you know, who was connecting to who. We tried to, you know, we did it by sort of exporting. So one of the things that, you know, if anyone actually has a connection that doesn't work with the UKCC, I'd quite like to know sort of who's connecting to who, and so we can export the LDIF and we can actually run the algorithm on sort of someone else's computer and actually figure out what was supposed to be done. So things that don't really work, I don't think. So trusted domains and global catalog replication, because Samba doesn't implement them, like it's sort of hard to test and have any idea if it actually works well. RDCs, that's a complete hole in the docs as far as I'm concerned. We have no idea how it's supposed to be actually making these connections. So there are other sort of topologies where if you have particular routing rules, you can specify more specifically how things should connect. But currently, we haven't sort of heard any sort of like necessary demands for anyone to actually use these things, and so we haven't actually implemented it yet. So basically, some things just need to be better respected. Some AD attributes, which I'm not sure we're actually respecting. So although we might do things in the KCC, the backend replication engine doesn't necessarily respect some of these things. So things that I need to be working on is basically better DC failover, better connection cleanup. And so I think Windows, one of the things Windows does is sort of store a reason for why some connections exist. And I was thinking, I want to try to use that as a normal replication to figure out whether or not things have failed. So I think Windows in some cases actually uses RPC calls and tries to keep things all online to try to figure out who should be talking to who and who's actually offline or not. And that sort of, that means it's not sort of, it's sort of synchronous when you actually run these algorithms. Other things sort of I want to work on sort of more debugging failure information. But one of the big things is that all this stuff was written sort of like a long time ago, and it's not actually really ideal for a lot of modern networks. A lot of modern networks, you know, they can be connected much better, and they probably want to be more robust. You know, this was done when, you know, people's network connections weren't actually all that reliable or didn't actually transport that much data. And so we really sort of need to rethink sort of how we actually do this properly or how we should be doing this properly. You know, I've implemented all the Microsoft algorithms, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're good for, you know, sort of Samba-only networks where you sort of have different requirements on how often you want to be replicating, who you want to be replicating. And so, you know, do you want, you know, ring algorithms for the inter-site stuff? Do you want you know, this? Do you want to actually not have a minimum cost spanning tree? Do you actually want to add additional connections? Do you want to actually do you want to connect all the bridgehead servers? Do you want to like there's a lot of different strategies, and sort of we haven't really figured out, you know, what is the best way to actually connect some of these networks together. And that's basically all I've got to talk about. So are there any questions?
Is there a way for you to easily bring in IP topology changes via BGP, which already has an idea of the network graph, the connected...
The thing is, there's so many levels of indirection in terms of the replication stuff that I haven't really thought about sort of where we're supposed to get this failure information. And so Windows does it in some very terrible ways, I think, at the moment. It does, like, you know, it actually tries to connect to it and stuff like that, you know, I think it blocks in some cases, and there's all sorts of weird things. And so I haven't really thought about exactly, you know, how we're going to get this information, but yeah, trying to work on that.
So you mentioned that there might be better algorithms for link calculation than the ones that Active Directory is using. And so I'm wondering, if you choose to implement those in Samba, is it possible to make them to use that in a mixed domain, or we have to stick with MS algorithms?
So I think as long as we keep the connections which are sort of made by, as long as we keep sort of the ones that were supposed to be created by AD, and we just sort of add additional ones over the top, for instance, it should be fully compatible still. All it expects is that, you know, this DC will eventually get stuff from that DC. It doesn't really care necessarily. As long as it's sort of a superset, or like as long as it's the superset of the ones which are created, I mean, that's going to work in either case, I think. Yeah.